Chapter 17. Rahway was so packed with cars that Ron had to find a spot on the street. The band was playing Brown Eyed Girl, and the rooms were shaking with the music. Loreen was sitting at the kitchen table, chain-smoking, drinking diet soda. She hated the band, and usually tried to avoid the house on practice nights. But after the argument she wound up having with Craig, and after he told her what Ron had said, she was looking up and waiting for him. She thought she heard the bells on the back door. She couldn't be sure. Then she saw him. She got up from the table, glaring at him, and said, "Come outside, Ron. I want to talk to you." And I sat down on the back porch. "You rotten bastard. How dare you say anything about my personal life to a man I'm seeing?" "I didn't mean to upset him," said Ron with a half grin that he was trying to restrain. "You lousy fuck. You knew exactly what you were doing, and I know exactly why you did it. It wasn't any of your business." "Really?" said Ron lightly. Then he let his face turn dark. "Maybe I'm too fucked up to understand. But I think the Warren is trying to throw me out of this house. And I think you decided, in your sick little mind, that somehow you were just doing the right thing for Chris. And the fact that you're screwing everybody around, coincidentally to your own advantage, is the fault of fucking fate or something. That has nothing to do with what you did. Do you know how many women I watched you take advantage of before you met the one you couldn't and decided that it must be love? I never interfered. I stood by and let you fuck my best friends, and then I knew you wouldn't give a shit about them. What do you figure that says about you?" "I trusted you, Ron, and you shit all over me. It was payback time, and I'll tell you the truth. It was pretty mild. I'm sure what I told him couldn't be the truth." "Fuck you, Ron. I'm getting out of here until you and the child of Woodstock both get what you deserve. I'll never trust you again." "Do what you want, but maybe you should think a little about why you decided to sneak out on Chris. And maybe you should look at who you're lining up with and whether you're only doing it because you think it will work out to your advantage." Ron lit a cigarette and listened to the band, which had now shifted over to Moondance. Ron thought that they sounded pretty good. He liked the piano and Chris on the flute. He thought the drums needed a little more variety of loud and soft, and he couldn't hear the bass at all. But on the whole, he didn't think that they'd embarrass themselves. Everybody would have a bunch of fun listening to them on Saturday. After Loreen finished packing, she called Warren in the city. "I'm leaving," she said. "Why?" "Because this whole house sucks with Chris around, and Ron pulled some very nasty shit on me." "What did he do?" "I don't want to get into it now." "Where are you going to be this weekend?" "In Boston." "Would it be all right if I came in and stayed at your place?" "Do you want to come in tonight? Is Ruth there?" "No, she had to work in the morning." "Can you pick me up at the train station?" "When are you leaving?" "Now." No one heard Loreen leave, and there wasn't anyone she wanted to say goodbye to. She went out the front door so he wouldn't have to run into Ron again. She walked the half mile to the train station, feeling like a refugee, and cursing Chris because he was so blind all the time. When the band finished playing, they began to party. Three of them had brought girls with them and were sat in the living room through the entire ear-shattering practice. Ron heard voices and sounds of the instruments packing up and decided that it was safe to go in. He recognized almost everybody. Peter the drummer had shown up with Jade, who had thought he was the new main thing. Pete took Ron's hand, and Jade slipped him a condescending smirk. Ron glanced at Pete and smirked back at her. Rex, the keyboard guy, was there with his fiancée. She looked completely out of place in polyester slacks, a frilly blouse, and a copy of Bride's magazine. But when she got up to walk across the room, Ron noticed that she had a great ass that moved with a captivating motion. The other girls noticed that all the guys stared at Dina's ass as she shook it on her way to the bathroom. Joey, the snitch that had given Chris's name to the cops when he'd gotten busted, was playing guitar. He had a new girlfriend named Carol, whom nobody except for Chris had anything good to say about. The bass player was a stranger, and Ron didn't bother to ask his name. "Did you hear us?" said Rex. "I was listening to you," said Ron. "The dead also heard you," said Jade. Rex reconsidered what he said and turned to Ron. "Did you think that we were too loud, too?" "It's hard to say in a small room like this, but you guys definitely had it cranked up." "Bar bands gotta be loud," said the snitch. "I heard a lot of bands that would have drowned us out." "That's why Clapton is going deaf," said Rex. Then they began drinking and smoking in earnest. Ron grabbed hold of a couple of joints and wandered off into his room. He lit the first joint and sat listening to the sounds that came from the people in the other room. They were far enough away as not to be distinguishable as specific words and phrases, but the background noise that they offered was like music. The house always felt right when it was filled with people. Whether it was Warren holding one of his classes in the living room, or having one of his Sunday night discussions, or Chris just plain having fun, the house accommodated a large group well and seemed to breathe so easily when it was full. The converse was often true. When it was empty, the creaks and silences would be frightening to some of the people there. Ron loved it both ways. When it was frightening to others, it seemed to embrace Ron, and he was able to give himself over to it, to open his mind and his heart to the place, and let it inside of him. Here, there are mirrors where there is no glass, where objects have been handled or gazed at so long that they have their feeling, reflecting, but unstable, to give you the settled ease of things, comfortable with their place. Where there are no noises, there are shadows who speak their darkness through the silence that has made them. He stared at what he'd written and drew in on one of the joints. He wondered if the house tried to tell a story through him. He wondered if he and Robin, their time together, was as connected to the place as he thought it was. If he was right, and it was, it shouldn't be lost on him that she now hated Rahway and saw it with a jaundiced eye. Warren picked Loreen up at the train station and they drove back to his apartment. They opened a bottle of wine and began to talk about Rahway. "Chris isn't going to change until he's ready," said Loreen. "And I don't think that he's anywhere near ready. Something has to happen that shocks him into seeing what's happening to him. My hope is that damage, which he can't recover from, doesn't recur. He's never going to understand or agree with your stand, Warren. Believe me, he'll see it as a contest that he's being challenged to, and just try to figure out what he's got to do to win." "What about Ron?" said Warren. "I don't care about Ron. He's hopeless, and now he's becoming vindictive." "Ron's brighter than you think." "He's bright, and he's got such a distorted picture of himself that if he ever makes a correct decision, it's by luck. He thinks of himself as a streetwise city kid, and he doesn't realize that he lost that point of view a long time ago. He thinks that there's something he can do to make things right with Robin, and she's gone for good. as his lover, said Warren. You're correct. But she isn't finished with him yet. She wouldn't have followed him out here if she was. I think she came out here to see her family, and Ron's a good taxi. There's more to it than that, but you're mostly right. The thing that I want to talk about is the house. I think that it'll probably become necessary to put Chris out. And it would be better if he left on his own. But I don't think that will happen. He paid next month's rent, you know, said Lorraine. The whole thing? Yes. That was a mistake. Now he's going to force me to up the stakes. And I had hoped to keep things as friendly as possible. Anyway, after Chris and Ron are out of there, I'd like you to move in. Lorraine grinned. You would? I think that we share a common vision of what raw we could be, and I think we can work toward that together. Who else? Said Lorraine. I don't know yet. We can work that out after we finish up our business with Chris. Warren, I don't think that I would like living with you and Ruth there. There's no chance of me moving Ruth in. That would make everything very crazy. I'm looking for a little sanity in my life for a change. Besides, I think that the people who live in the house shouldn't sleep together. Lorraine smiled and poured some more wine. Warren? Yes? Wanna fuck? Warren flashed a southern grin and drawled, I think that we should talk about some other things first. Warren, get your cock out. We'll talk later on.